Well, this afternoon, I'd like to just take a look for a few moments here at Psalm 26, and I want to begin reading in verse 7. I'll read there. Verse 7 says, "That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne today, thanking you, Lord, this afternoon for all your mercy, all your grace and goodness to us, beginning with salvation, and then, Lord, just listening to each and every one giving a testimony of your great grace and love toward each and every one of us, Lord, and we thank you for that. Bless your word this afternoon. Bless your people, Lord, and allow us to go forth into the world for the rest of the time that you've given to us here on this side of eternity to truly be a witness and have a thankful heart of all that you have done, that you are doing, and that you will do for each and every believer. And then, Lord, that we might have the benefit and the blessing of leading others to you. Bless your word again. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The title tonight is simply The Voice of Thanksgiving, and that's what we were sharing here just a little while ago. And so I want to just consider a couple of things, and of course this is the season of Thanksgiving. So what is it that brings a genuine voice of thanksgiving before God? You know, it really doesn't change. And it all comes down to trusting in the Lord to perform His grace in us. It started with grace, it'll end with grace. Amen. What brought you into the family of God? The grace of God. What will keep you in the family of God? Certainly not our strength. It'll be the grace of God. What will take you home to heaven? The grace of God. And so we thank the Lord for that. And there's only two thoughts this afternoon. And then a genuine publication of God's work of grace in our life. A genuine publication. God wants to put it so into us that we bubble over. Amen? Amen. God wants to give us so much of His grace that we are glad that we have to share.
Amen.
The grace and the goodness of God that He's given to us. So let's look at a couple of things here. We'll notice here a God-given confidence in the first six verses here, a working motivating factor, and then the outward manifestation of God's grace working in us. So the first two verses we find a God-given confidence. Notice what the psalmist here says, David: "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide." So this is a God-given confidence. You know what David was saying? God will keep me from sliding. Amen?
Amen.
Can we believe in that? God will keep us. God changes us.
Amen.
And I'm going to walk in that. Lord, I don't want to walk in how I feel or how I think. Because if I walk how I feel and how I think, I won't get up off the couch. I'll be afraid to do, Lord, woe is me, I'm a failure, I can't do this and I can't do that. But Lord, if I look to you, who does everything well, I can, you said I can move mountains, amen?
Amen.
I can pray and ask you, and you through me will do great works, move the mountains in my life. And so he says, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, for I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide." Verse 2 says this: "Examine, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart." You know what he's saying? Lord, you can trust me. I have confidence in you that you can keep me. And so, Lord, you can try me.
Amen.
You can bring things into... I am so confident in the Lord that you can bring anything in my life, and I know you will take care of it. And so he says, try me. You know, sometimes people are afraid to try it. You ever have something to maybe break, and then you replace it, and then you're kind of fearful of the thing. Now that it's fixed, you want to take better care of it. Maybe you're afraid you don't want to see it break again. But listen, if it's a brand new replacement part, it ought to work better than the old one. And so likewise, if God has given to us His new life, it's better than the old one. We can trust the life that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the next thought here is a working motivating factor. Notice what he says here in verse 3. "For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes." That's the motivating factor. Lord, your loving kindness. How is it that I can have that kind of confidence that I can say, Lord, you can try me. I see your loving kindness toward me. Lord, you make that very prevalent, very prominent in my heart and mind. You bring it to the forefront of my thinking. And so, Lord, I can be tried because I trust your loving kindness. He says, verse 3, "For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in whose truth?" Thy truth. And thy truth is what he's saying right there. And so God says, hey, listen, I won't lead you anywhere. I won't protect you. Amen. I'll watch over you, and you can trust me when I say, follow me. I'll guide you in the way. By the way, he was faithful to all of his disciples, was he not?
Yeah.
Did he ever let them slip? Did he ever let them out of his hands? They were always there. They didn't always feel that way, but they were always in his hands. And when they failed, he would say something like, "Oh, ye of little faith. You didn't trust me." See? See, real faith doesn't say, "Now you explain that to me." God says, "Here, do that." And then we say, "Now you explain that to me." Is that faith? "Now you show me why." Or faith is saying, "I trust you." Right? We don't need God to give us a whole explanation.
Amen.
We know that He is true to His word. That's a real faith. Even if it doesn't make sense in our thinking, that our faith, or faith that God has given to us, will say, "Lord, you are more than trustworthy." And so, notice what we find here in verse 4. He says, "I have not sat with the vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers. I will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord." And so he said, this is an outward manifestation of God's grace working in us. We are no longer looking to the old ways. We are no longer, listen, you know, criminals, they say that thieves are never able to find a police officer, right? When they're stealing things, they never seem to, because they're not looking, right? They definitely don't want to run into them. And so likewise, listen, we don't want to run with the wrong group. We don't want to tempt ourselves into the wrong thing. So we want to separate ourselves because of God's faithfulness, because of His loving kindness toward us. We want to separate from those things and call upon the Lord to help us with anything that is contrary to the Word of God. "Lord, cleanse my heart, cleanse my mind, cleanse my way of thinking, and may I meditate on heavenly things." You know, years ago, they used to have what they called fowlers. Those were bird hunters, right? And the fowlers, they would set up different kinds of traps, little snares and things like that, with strings and sticks and things of that nature. So when the bird would land and walk, it would get caught up, and the fowler had a free meal, right? He would catch his meal. But while the bird was in the air, it was freest. Amen? It was safest. And likewise, when you and I, when our hearts and minds are soaring into heaven, and when we're less minded about earthly things that ground us, that would cause us to get caught up and snared, and thinking the way that the world thinks, and thinking that this is all that there is to live for, when our hearts and minds ponder the things of heaven, you know what? It's harder for the fowler, the old Satan himself, to get us trapped up, or the flesh, to get us caught up and wrapped up in the things that are very temporal, to where we get caught up and forget about the things that are heavenly. Amen? The things that keep us from being trapped and snared, that would keep us from the power of God and the love of God that He wants to bring into our lives. And so, here's this outward manifestation. David says, I'm hating the congregation of evildoers. Why? Because I have a heart for God that He's given me. I'm more concerned about the things that God has for me than those things that I can try to provide for myself that will only ensnare me and keep me grounded. In fact, maybe even trap me to where I can't soar the way God would have me to soar and fly into heavenly thoughts and things of that nature that God would have us to think about. All right? So here's the last thought, and that is, again, what is it that brings a genuine voice of thanksgiving before the Lord? The first was trusting in the Lord to perform His grace in us. And secondly is a genuine publication of God's work of grace in our lives. And so let's look at verse 7 here. It says, "That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving," right? What is he doing? He is publicizing. He's saying, listen, I want you to know what God is doing in my life and tell of all thy wondrous works. David says, I'd rather muse. You know, many times you look at the Psalms, and after the Psalms it says, Selah, meditate on this, think about this. That takes us to heavenly heights, amen? That keeps us from being grounded and being too earthly minded, that we might think more about the Lord and what He's really all about. And think about all the things. Think about all the things of this world. What will they really mean when we stand before the Lord face to face? All these things, a lot of these things. In fact, wouldn't you say all of these things? All of these things, they're not going to matter when we stand before the Lord. And if we make the Lord matter now by seeking Him, He will help us to soar to heights that we can never bring ourselves to. So he says, again, this is a publication of God's work of grace. And he's saying that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house, your dwelling place, Lord, where you're at. and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Right? Think about that. I want to be where God dwells. On my heart and my mind, I want to be where the Lord is at. He says, gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. He says, redeem me and be merciful to me. Think about that now. This is David. He's already redeemed, so what is he talking about? He's not talking about salvation. He already has that. But you know what he's saying? Redeem me from myself and the way that I would think. Redeem me, Lord, and guide me into your paths of righteousness, to your way that leads to life, and not to the ways that would ground me or cause me to become unfruitful. But as for me, he says, verse 11, I will walk in mine integrity, redeem me, and be merciful unto me. And here's the last part of it. With that thought in mind, he says, my foot standeth in an even place. That means I can't slip. When you're in an uneven place, you ever do that? You can trip pretty easy. But when you're in an even place, and that's the Lord that brings us to that place, my foot standeth in an even place, in the congregations will I bless the Lord. When I'm in an even place, God, bring me to those even places. And that there's only one thing that brings full equity, and that is the truth of God's word. Not the skewing of it, not the twisting of it. That's what the world wants to do. But Lord, we want to walk in the uprightness and have complete confidence in your redeeming work of grace that you've given to us. That's where we need to put our confidence. Amen. And that will bring thanksgiving unto the Lord.
Amen.
So with that said, we'll bow for a word of prayer, but have a happy Thanksgiving in the Lord. Amen. That's where we have a real Thanksgiving in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for your love toward us. And Lord, may we never take for granted that it is because of your grace and love for us, Lord. We have not done anything to merit or earn your favor, and yet you have freely given that to us at a very great price. And that price was the life and blood and sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. May we never take that for granted, Lord, and realize that there is a lot, everything that you've given, Lord, that we might have a new life in you, eternal life in you, and a great hope, Lord, to look forward to that will take place, Lord, and we'll see you face to face. So bless each family that's represented here, and may you truly fill us with your light that we might share that with our families and with a lost and dying world that needs to know you as Savior. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.